We're good. Good morning. It's a lovely morning. It's good to be back, although I'm going to be taking off shortly. But last week, my son got married, and it was just glorious. And as he was outside, he was up in a town called Oliva, Wisconsin, which is just north of Eau Claire. And he had a barn reception, and it was an outdoor wedding. And all of a sudden, things are going wrong right and left before it. And I got up there, and I just felt like, you know, Satan wanted to rob the joy. And then all of a sudden, the songs came, and I just felt like, Lord, this is all about you. And their wedding actually just honored God. And I just felt like a rush of the Holy Spirit over the whole place. And I thought, you know, God just loves so much when a marriage happens between two people, because it's so unusual today, that actually make a decision that their covenant is before God, and they're going to honor God. And actually, today, you're all here because you honor God. That's why you're here. That's why you get up early in the morning, because you're here to honor God and to glorify God. And you're going to go out into your communities and do that. Stosh has a passage today. It can be controversial, but one of the things we do at Faith Walkers, we don't actually care. So we just keep going through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And when we get to those ones that a lot of places they'll just kind of skip over, we just kind of plow right through it. And the nice thing about it is at each table here, what I've seen is I'm always awed what the Holy Spirit does through the men around the table, because you come from many different backgrounds, you come from many different churches, and you talk about controversial passages, and at the end of the day, you're all still friends. So, you know, that's only a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And the passage today is a little bit about that. It talks about divisions and schisms and not being reconciled because of something difficult. So I just pray that the Holy Spirit's going to anoint all of you today. So let's pray for Stosh as we open this up. Lord, we thank you so much for Stosh's heart, that his heart has opened up to you, that he's been praying all week, Lord, and he's been seeking you. And Lord, you said that when we seek you, we will find you, and you will not disappoint. That your heart, Lord, that your eyes travel to and forth throughout the whole world, looking for individuals whose heart is fully devoted to you. And when you find those individuals, Lord, you lift them up and you honor them. You honor those that honor you. And so we thank you, Father, for that. Because, Lord, that is our desire. That is our goal at Faith Walkers, to honor you and to glorify you. We pray, Lord, that today that you would be glorified. You would be glorified by the power of your Holy Spirit as you affect and touch the lives with your word, Lord, which is powerful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, Faith Walkers. Jesus' death and resurrection broke down the walls of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, and also men and women, through an organism called God's Church, made up of both Jews and Gentiles. Last week, Dennis read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." Today, we're in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, and the theme is the honor of God. In this chapter, Paul is dealing with order in public worship. The first part of the chapter, Paul deals with guidance about head coverings in public worship. Then the last part of the chapter, Paul gives instructions about the conduct of the Lord's Supper, which is a reenactment of the cross and what Christ had to do for us to save us from the wrath of God, which is eternal death, eternal separation from the living God in a place called the lake of fire. There are two ways we can dishonor God. One is in the flesh, with personal immorality. And the other is spiritual, creating a man-made gospel. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he called her a harlot because she was doing both. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil, because you dishonor God. You are keeping the nations from coming to God by robbing the poor and teaching a false image of God." And Paul was rebuking the church in Corinth for doing the same. Because of their sexual immorality and their dismal understanding of the Lord's Supper, their view of the Lord's Supper was so pagan, so disorderly, so unholy sounding, that no Jew in his right mind, no Muslim in his right mind, no Buddhist in his right mind, no Hindu in his right mind, or any other Gentile from any other nation would even dare to become a Christian. They were making themselves as a stumbling block for others. On the natural level, Paul gives instructions about head coverings. And he talks about women with shaved heads. Now we have to remember the culture that these pagans were living in. And sexual immorality was almost a necessity for them, because there were temple prostitution all over the Gentile world. And these temple prostitutes used to shave their heads so you could tell who the prostitute was. And they would come down from their temples in the mountains into the cities, looking for men to take back with them to the temples so they could have sex with them, so they could please their gods. So when one of these converts, these prostitutes, decided to become a convert and come over to Christianity by faith, Paul tells her to cover your head until your hair grows back in, so you don't become a stumbling block for someone who's passing through looking for a Christian church. And then once God gives you your natural covering back, you can take the cover back off. So they could see that you are a child of God, that you're no longer a harlot. Paul also talks about a spiritual headship. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had a chain of command. I had to answer to my NCO. And then my NCO had to answer to our lieutenant, which was his head. And then a lieutenant had to answer to the colonel, which was his head. And then the colonel had to answer to the general, which was his head. It had to be that way if the Marine Corps was to be a functionally fighting machine. God also has a chain of command. If the church wants to be effective in the battle against evil. When Jesus walked this earth, the Father covered his Son. In other words, he was under the control of the Holy Spirit. When I became a child of God, Jesus is my head. And I'm the head for my wife. But if the wife says, I don't like that chain of command, I think God made a mistake. I never wanted to be a woman. It was always in my heart to become a man. I don't want to do God's will for my life or God's will for his for my life, but mine. So Paul says, if you want to wear the pants in the family, if you want to play the role of a man, then shave your head and look like a man. This way you can tell God in your heart who you really are. Because when you look in the mirror, you can see yourself and say, I look like a harlot. Not a physical harlot, but a spiritual harlot. Because I'm committing the original sin. I'm being disobedient to God's instructions. And Paul is telling him to cut it out. And that's as far as I want to go on that subject. Because my wife likes to download our messages and listen to them. The Gospel of John begins, in the beginning was the Word, the second person of the Godhead. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And by the time we get to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus has many followers. But they're not following him to hear his words. But they only want to receive his miracles. So many believe in his name and follow, but Jesus knows their hearts. He knows that a fallen man will always be a fallen man. Unless God does a miracle in our life called the resurrection from spiritual death. So he doesn't commit himself to them. But instead he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. Unless we are so hungry for God's word and thirst for God's word so that he could write them on our hearts, just as we're so hungry for physical food and natural drink to fill our stomachs, we will not be lovers of the truth. Because the living word of God is the bread that gives life. It's God's word that we put our faith in. It's the faith of God through his word that we grow faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Paul tells us in all of his epistles, when you lead a person to Christ, always preach the word. Preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the word when people are responding to his word. And preach the word when they're not responding to the word. But if they're not responding to the word, then don't try another way. Because Jesus says there's only one way. Don't try to impress them with your philosophy. It's not going to work. Don't try to mesmerize them with your religion. It's not going to work. Don't try to dazzle them with your theology. It's not going to work. Especially if your theology doesn't match up with the Word of God. then you have phony baloney theology anyway. And phony baloney can't pierce the heart. Only Christ crucified is the sword that pierces the heart. And Christ crucified in this chapter means the Lord's Supper. In verses 17 through 22, reads like this. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungrier and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. In other words, they all had their own opinion how to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So Paul rebukes them. Why? Because they all come from a pagan, gentle background. They don't know any better. They needed to be discipled. And no one was willing to love them enough and to tell them what truth is. Except for Paul. That's why he writes the first verse of this chapter. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now he's going to teach them again. Verses 23 and 24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the bread is a symbol of his incarnation. And when we take the bread, we first give thanks. O my Father, thank you for sending us your Son, the Redeemer. Because without him, there is no salvation. And then when you take and eat the bread, remember me. Remember me when you were first born, when I came knocking on your heart. And you let me in. And then when you eat the bread, remember me, what I had to do for you. I had to give everything up in eternity past. I had to give up equality with my Father. so that I could become a permanent member of the human race. So that I could go to a cross for you and take all your sins away from you and put them on myself. And then I took the full blow from a righteous and holy God so that you could live. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So when we drink the cup, remember what he did at the cross. "Remember me," he says. "Remember that all your sins have been taken away and you have been forgiven. You have been made white as snow so my life could come and live in you." And then verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You proclaim Christ crucified. Amen. We have three questions that we have. I'll be up here again in about a half hour and give you a heads up so we can start praying for each other at our tables. Thank you for being here.